we had to try to make this work because we know that with the postal survey that it will get very nasty.
The vibe of the callers is that people are distressed and they're distraught.
This is a serious discussion about real people's lives.
Campaigners point to the Brexit vote and the election of US President Donald Trump as evidence nothing can be taken for granted.
I'll vote yes in your plebiscite, though it's one more blow unto our plight.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Trump's Justice Department ices Supreme Court queer rights cake, trans ban and DACA denial further rile U.S. activists, and Australia's mail-in marriage vote gets High Court stamp of approval. Those stories and more this week, now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Michael Lebeau.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending September 9th, 2017. Australia's High Court has cleared the way for the government's voluntary, non-binding marriage equality postal plebiscite. The single ballot question will ask, should the law be changed to allow same-sex couples to marry? A majority yes vote will presumably trigger a bill in Parliament to open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples. Opponents argued that the government didn't have parliamentary approval to spend the estimated $122 million in taxpayer funds on the mail-in vote, and that it was inappropriate to assign the task to the country's Statistics Bureau instead of the Electoral Commission. But the justices agreed with the coalition government of Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull that it had the right to spend funds that had already been budgeted for urgent and unforeseen matters. Ballots will start being mailed out this week. The results are expected to be announced on November 15th. As Andrew Probyn concluded in a September 8th Australian Broadcasting Company analysis of the situation, the Prime Minister now needs the postal survey to deliver a majority yes result so the matter can be brought to a vote in the House of Representatives. And that's the irony here. This issue has always been one that will have to be resolved by a free vote of all MPs. The plebiscite pantomime has primarily been about how you get to that free vote. We'll have the latest sound and fury down under from our correspondent Barry McKay in Sydney later on most of these This Way Out stations.
Remember candidate Donald Trump's promise to protect LGBT people? His Department of Justice filed a friend of the court brief this week in a case to be heard in October by the U.S. Supreme Court. It involves a Christian conservative Colorado baker's refusal to make a wedding cake for a gay couple. And the Trump administration is siding with the baker's right to discriminate based on his religious beliefs. Lawyers from the far-right Alliance Defending Freedom are representing Masterpiece Cake Shop owner Jack Phillips. They're arguing that Phillips has a First Amendment right to deny his artistic talents to a creation that violates his faith. At least 86 Republican lawmakers from both houses of Congress have also signed on to a friend of the court brief supporting the cake maker, arguing that it's a matter of not only his religious freedom, but of his free speech rights. Colorado courts and the Colorado Civil Rights Commission have all ruled against Phillips. It's unlawful for businesses serving the public in the state to discriminate based on sexual orientation. The couple, David Mullins and Charlie Craig, are represented by the ACLU. The advocacy group's James Essex said that, while the right to one's religious beliefs is fundamental, a license to discriminate is not. A U.S. High Court ruling for the Christian cake maker could encourage repeal of dozens of current state and local laws that currently protect LGBT people from discrimination.
Lawyers for the queer advocacy group Lambda Legal petitioned the Supreme Court this week to hear the workplace discrimination lawsuit of a Georgia lesbian. They're arguing that Georgia Regional Hospital harassed and subsequently forced Jamaica Evans out of her job as a security officer because of her sexuality and gender nonconformity. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 bans sex discrimination in the workplace, And her lawyers argue that sex discrimination includes discrimination based on sexual orientation. The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has supported Title VII protections for LGBT people in federal courts since 2015. But the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld a lower court ruling in March that decided that Evans' sexual orientation was not a factor in the case. In April, the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals cited Title VII in ruling for a college instructor who was fired for being lesbian. Whether or not Title VII protects LGBT people has been at the heart of several other federal workplace bias lawsuits. The Supreme Court will almost certainly have to eventually resolve the question. Since the High Court has already decided to hear that Colorado cake baker's case, it's not clear if the justices will agree to hear a second queer-related case in their upcoming session.
Meanwhile, the statewide advocacy group Equality California has filed what is now a fourth lawsuit, this one on behalf of several transgender enlistees from the Golden State, challenging President Trump's edict banning their military service. The plaintiffs in the new lawsuit include Army Sergeant Jacquees Tate, an Iraq War veteran and military police officer who served since 2008, and Aiden Stockman, who's identified as a transgender male since the eighth grade. The lawsuit notes that Stockman had delayed enlisting in the Air Force last year after the Obama administration opened service to trans people because he wanted to first complete a double mastectomy. Similar complaints contesting the trans ban have been filed by the ACLU in Maryland, Lambda Legal in the state of Washington, and jointly by the National Center for Lesbian Rights and GLBTQ legal advocates and defenders in Washington, D.C. They all essentially argue that Trump's reversal of the Obama-era policy embracing transgender service members lacks a rational basis. They also dispute Trump's claims of confusion among the troops over trans inclusion and excessive health care costs. Several studies note that the Pentagon spends up to 10 times more for Viagra than for the trans-related health care of its service members.
Several LGBTQ advocacy groups have strongly condemned President Trump's move to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA, that has protected close to 800,000 young immigrants, mostly from Mexico and Central America, from deportation. In announcing the move this week, Attorney General Jeff Sessions gave Congress 6 months to pass legislation to save the program. President Obama created DACA through executive action 5 years ago. It allows undocumented immigrants who were brought to the U.S. as children and who meet rigorous qualification criteria to get permits to go to school and work in the country legally without fear of deportation. Mara Keisling of the National Center for Transgender Equality called Trump's decision an assault on human rights and human decency. Kate Kendall of the National Center for Lesbian Rights described Trump's move as brutally vicious and depraved, pointing out that it places DACA recipients who identify as LGBT in an even more precarious position, putting their dreams, their futures, and potentially their safety at risk. And Alejandro Aviles of the Human Rights Campaign said the DACA reversal is yet another hateful decision by the Trump-Pence administration.
And finally, the world is saying goodbye to trailblazing feminist writer Kate Millett, who passed away this week at the age of 82. London's Guardian newspaper reported that she succumbed to a heart attack during an annual holiday in Paris to celebrate her birthday with her wife and longtime collaborator, photojournalist Sophie Kier. Millett's doctoral thesis that became the book, Sexual Politics, questioned the origins of patriarchy, which she said were politically and culturally based and not inherently natural. She also argued that the sexual revolution required a breakdown of heteronormative models of the traditional family. Her book was more queer-friendly than Betty Friedan's The Feminine Mystique, which called lesbians a lavender menace. Millett spearheaded the movement by queer feminists to reclaim that moniker and eventually came out as lesbian herself. She was born in Minnesota in 1934. Her alcoholic father abandoned the family when she was 14, leaving her mother and two sisters in poverty. A wealthy aunt paid for her education, leading her to study comparative literature at Columbia University and at Oxford's St. Hilda's College, and to teach at Barnard College, Bryn Mawr College, and the University of California, Berkeley. Many consider Millett's works to have been milestones in the fight for gender equality in the workplace, legal abortion, and sexual freedom. but she refused to be called a spokesperson for the feminist movement. She's nevertheless featured in the 2014 film She's Beautiful When She's Angry as a feminist leader. Millett followed up Sexual Politics with autobiographical memoirs on sexuality, literary celebrity, love and relationships, and mental health, including Mother Millett, Sita, Flying, and The Loony Bin Trip. The name of the charitable nonprofit that produces This Way Out, Overnight Productions, was inspired in part by this clever quip by Millett at the 1979 National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights.
We are the only minority group that you can join overnight. In the twinkling of an eye, in fact.
That's News Wrap for the week ending September 9th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
Straight military personnel will have to shower with homosexual.
What do you think goes wrong when people shower with homosexuals? Do you think it's the spray makes it catching? I mean, we don't get ourselves dry cleaned.
Hello, I'm Barney Frank, and you are listening to This Way Out.
It's ready, set, stamp for Australian voters now that the final obstacle against the government's marriage equality plebiscite has fallen. With the High Court go-ahead, Mr. Ms. or Mixed Postperson will start delivering ballots on September 15th. This Way Out Sydney correspondent Barry McKay picks up the continuing story.
Last Thursday, Australian High Court judges unanimously found that the Australian Finance Minister Matthias Cormann lawfully allocated $122 million Australian dollars from Treasury to allow the Australian Bureau of Statistics to conduct a same-sex marriage postal survey without Parliament voting on the matter under the guise of an urgent and unforeseen circumstance. Professor of Constitutional Law at the University of Sydney, Anne Twomey, spoke on ABC Radio last Friday, expressing her concern that the High Court decision has now given the government leeway to spend money on matters that were affected by its own political imperatives and interests.
Ask yourself, well, what was the urgency in relation to holding a postal survey at this particular date in relation to changing the meaning of a term marriage? I mean, you're talking about changing the meaning of a term that had been in existence for hundreds of years, legislation that's been around for quite some time. There was no external factor saying that you have to make the decision now as opposed to, you know, in 2 months' time or next year or when the next budget cycle came through.
Outside the High Court in Melbourne, after the announcement, long-term Yes campaigner Shelley Argent, who is the national spokesperson of PFLAG Australia, had a hint of disappointment in her voice after the decision was made public. But she said that the Yes campaign had a lot of work ahead of it.
We had to try to make this work because we know that with the postal survey that it will get very nasty and probably on both sides, and we don't need that. But I also want all the LGBTIQ people in the community to know that we are supporting you, that we have done our best, and that's all that we can do.
The postal survey forms will be sent out from the 15th of September and they will need to be returned by post by the 7th of November, with a result expected to be announced by the Australian Bureau of Statistics on the 15th of November.
All people in Australia should be able to marry the person they love.
Anna Brown from the Human Rights Law Centre was one of the lawyers who helped fight the case in the High Court against the government.
This plebiscite was completely and is completely unnecessary. LGBTI people didn't ask for this plebiscite. But now the court has determined that the plebiscite will be going ahead It is absolutely vital that Australians support gay and lesbian people, their friends and their families, and vote yes in the upcoming survey.
Now that the government has won its case to hold the postal survey, the High Court challengers have been ordered to pay the government's legal costs. Donations to help with this are being requested by the Australian LGBTIQ community. Prime Minister Turnbull, a multi-millionaire himself, has had his political skin saved by the decision. A Sydney Morning Herald editorial last Friday said it was unfortunate that the postal survey has had to be conducted solely in order to convince the governing party's recalcitrants to back a measure which Australians, according to opinion polls, already overwhelmingly endorse. This is how ABC Radio reported the reaction to the High Court decision in Parliament last Thursday.
MPs didn't really have their hearts in the beginning of question time, scrolling through their phones and iPads, before the opposition leader Bill Shorten killed two birds with one stone, telling the lower house about the ruling.
I note the High Court's decision moments ago in relation to the Prime Minister's $122 million postal survey on marriage equality. Will the Prime Minister now accept my invitation to write a joint letter to every Australian to support voting yes in the survey?
Yes. I'm interested in the assumption that the Leader of the Opposition makes that joining his signature to mine would actually increase the case for the yes vote. Mr. Speaker, the Leader of the Opposition can make his case and I'll make mine. As I've said in this House and in many other places, Lucy and I will be voting yes, and I'll be encouraging others to vote yes.
Prime Minister Turnbull has said that if a no result is returned, then his party will not support a private member's bill in Parliament on the issue. The issue would then be delayed until the next election in 2019. If the result is yes, then the Special Minister of State and Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann, said that such a bill could be debated and voted on in Parliament by the end of this year.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. The High Court today has confirmed that before the Parliament next considers this, that the Australian people will have the opportunity to have their say on whether they believe that the law should be changed to allow same-sex couples to marry, and that is a process that will now get underway.
In terms of advertising for the Yes or No campaigns, protection against malicious publications and bribery laws are anticipated to be legislated, and it's expected they will come into effect with the postal survey. Already, Switchboard Victoria, which covers the nation's second most populous state, an LGBTIQ telephone counselling service, have reported a 30% increase of callers to their service, and they have had to put on 16 extra staff.
The vibe of the callers is that people are distressed and they're distraught.
General Manager Joe Ball spoke to ABC Radio last Friday.
You know, we provide our phone service in Victoria and we have people calling from throughout Victoria. And so some people, you know, they're not in the inner city bubble and they may not be surrounded by people who are going to vote yes. And so we're getting people who are quite concerned and worried about what is going to be 2 months is going to look like.
One Australian citizen has offered his postal survey ballot form on eBay with a starting price of $1,500 Australian dollars. Independent South Australian Senator Nick Xenophon expressed concern on ABC Radio last Friday over the matter.
Any attempt to game the survey, any attempt to distort the results of this important survey, must be met with appropriate legal safeguards. Otherwise, it makes a complete mockery of it.
The eBay seller says that they are selling their ballot paper as they do not care about the result, but knows he might be able to make some money out of others more interested in the outcome. Yes campaign spokesperson Tiernan Brady also spoke on ABC Radio about this the same day.
Whoever it is, what do you think you're doing? This is a serious discussion about real people's lives. You know, I think part of the journey over the next 2 weeks, you know, we're going to see that. The vast majority of conversations will be respectful. You know, the vast, vast majority of Australians want it to be that way. You know, and then on the edges of every campaign, on the no side and on the yes side, you know, you're going to see, you know, a couple of crazy voices, but they're not representative of Australia. And You know, we just always have to remember that as we take this journey together.
Spokesperson for the No campaign and head of the Australian Christian Lobby, Lyle Shelton, on ABC Radio the same day.
Look, I think there's always going to be people out there who do silly things. This really does trivialise what is a very important decision for the Australian nation.
The Australian Bureau of Statistics, which is running the postal survey, has said that the submission of a form that could be proven to have been bought or sold would likely be considered an offence that would attract a fine of more than $2,000 or a 12-month jail term. eBay and Facebook have responded to an Australian Bureau of Statistics call to block listings of ballot papers for sale online. Opinions in the LGBTI community itself on the issue differ. It's not a given that all community members support same-sex marriage. Last week, ABC TV's 7:30 Current Affairs program interviewed a gay couple that did not want to get married and said they would vote no. One of the pair, Mark Poidovan, a committed Catholic, had this to say.
Campaign's gotten nasty on both sides, and I think the comments that I hear is, you're a homophobe if you don't support gay marriage. Well, I'm a gay person here that's coming out and saying, well, no, it's not. It's your right to have a view. Your right to have a view either way, and I think people should be respected for each way. You're not intolerant if you don't support a view.
After a week of campaigning before the High Court decision, already reports have emerged in the Sydney Morning Herald last Saturday that a rising number of people polled by the Fairfax Media Organisation, who runs the respected newspaper, have said that they support the no vote. There is also a rising number of people that are now unsure of how they will vote, and also less people are saying they will be likely to vote at all. The Sydney Morning Herald article said that campaigners point to the 1999 Republic campaign in Australia, which was a failure, the Brexit vote, and the election of US President Donald Trump as evidence nothing can be taken for granted. Tiernan Brady is, however, more hopeful and had this to say at a recent supporters meeting.
Australia has decided years ago that it is in favour of marriage equality. It's only the world of politics that has failed to catch up. So if we have to go through this process, then we were going to do everything we can to make sure the result in the process reflects the will of the Australian people. And the early signs when we look at enrolment are really strong and really good. So we've just got an awful lot of work to do, a million conversations.
I'm Barry Mackay in Sydney for This Way Out.
Dear Malcolm, I bet you're pretty content. I bet you're kicking back with a glass of rosé. I know you had a small dilemma hanging over your head, and you must be glad now it's out of the way. Oh, I know it must be hard to lead the government of Australia when some aren't comfortable with loving couples who have matching genitalia. And I know you're trying to do what's best to advance your own self-interest. Stay in power for at least another day. Well, Malcolm, please forgive me if I sound a bit irate, but messing with the tenets of our democratic state is a high price to pay. I'd put down that rosé. Listen up, 'cause I think you can find another way. We don't need a plebiscite to bestow a human right. Max, I know there's pressure on your right, but even so, this isn't right. Why hold a plebiscite, an expensive and offensive way to change a law which you could change with a simple vote and nothing more?
Don't hold a plebiscite.
Have a simple vote and nothing more. Would your position change if you exchange places with someone LGBTQI or A? In schoolyards and churches, our youth are besmirched by a system that hurts through casual slurs, thoughtless words, till they learn to internalize shame where the blame to leave their lovers a sin, sign of the devil within. Well, I can't begin to imagine the further hurt the
potential cause to be having this discourse, not behind closed doors. These are our lives you're dragging through the media. Our families, our partners, our pride. Is it easier to haul us through hate just to hang on to power than fulfill your mandate, you intimidated coward? Did we hold a plebiscite to give women the voting right, or in policies of racism and hate? No, we didn't wait. Why debate through a plebiscite if the hurt and disadvantage might be human after all? It is insulting and appalling. And how come we all know you're stalling, just doing what's right? But if you're gonna hold a plebiscite, then I'm gonna rally, march and fight till I know I can hold my partner's hand without a sense of fear. And one day we will stand as man and man when the dust from your government's swept up, and the whole world will only wonder what it is we had to fight to stand right here. So I'll vote yes in your plebiscite, though it's one more blow unto our plight. We've suffered so much more, and this isn't the end. If you think we're weak, then think again. Bring on your plebiscite, we're no stranger to a hefty fight. We're stronger than your party might expect, and we won't back down and won't defect. Concept of it isn't right. We won't be fazed by hate and heartlessness. Even though it's wrong, we will vote yes. In your plebiscite. Now come, you psychophantic parasite. We're stronger than your party might expect. Even though it's wrong, we will vote yes. Vote yes. Even though it's wrong, we will vote yes. Vote yes. Even though it's wrong, we will vote yes.
That was Josh Belperio with a song he wrote for Australia's Marriage Equality Campaign. Dear Malcolm Turnbull is available for download at Josh's website, with all proceeds going to QLife, Australia's first national peer-to-peer counselling hotline for LGBTQI plus people. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. This week's program material came from Michael LeBeau and Tanya Kane Perry, produced by Steve Pride and Barry McKay. The Marvelettes and Josh Belperio performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener donors, for making this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon, email twroradio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KGHE Elma, Washington, Switch 1197 AM Brisbane, Queensland, KUR Kutztown, Pennsylvania, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now y'all stay tuned.